This episode is brought to you by Smartwool. Don't wait for warmer days. Smartwool's Winter Run collection is powered by Merino wool to get you out there all season. Adapting to changing conditions is what Merino wool does best, so you can go far and feel good. Join the Smartwool mailing list to receive updates and 15% off your first smartwool.com purchase on full price products only. See terms for details. After one too many long commute times on Toronto's aging streetcar network, Mac Bauer was fed up and decided to take it to the TTC in a battle of man versus machine. Over the past several months, Bauer has made it his mission to outrun the 11 routes that comprise Toronto's streetcar network, tackling summer heat, distracted drivers, and endless red lights, all while maintaining a perfect undefeated record against his hulking red steel opponents. While the challenge began as an excuse to motivate Bauer's own training, the competition has taken on a life of its own, resonating with fellow disgruntled commuters and bringing attention to a system that Bauer says has fallen behind the demands of the growing city. This week on the show, Mac joins us to talk about his battle against public transit in Toronto and why, despite his perfect, undefeated record, the victory he really dreams of is someday to lose. Mac, welcome to the ShakeOut Podcast. So glad you could join us.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here. Yeah, excited to share the story.
Yeah, I'm super excited to share that story. It's been one that we've been following along closely at Canadian Running. For those of our listeners who aren't as familiar with us, take us back to how this all started. I think for anybody that lives in a big city, they have some personal experience with dealing with the frustrations of public transit. And for you, that frustration led to action. So take us through how that all started.
Yeah, so this probably started, I would say, 6 months, a year ago. I can't exactly remember, but my wife and I were visiting a friend out west, and I had not lived in Toronto. You know, I lived in the UK, I lived in Montreal, so I've experienced a bunch of different transit systems. And living in the East End, I don't go west often. So I was out visiting my friend in the West End, and we had to take the streetcar from High Park out to our area, which is Leslieville, which is probably about 11 kilometers. And we were just so shocked when it was kind of later at night and it still took an hour. We couldn't believe it to go not a very long distance. And since we're both runners, we were just like, we could for sure beat this, no problem. And I sat with it for a while, and you know, training was busy. And then I brought the idea up to my friend Jack, and he was like, well, let's film this. I'll help you out with it. And I said, sure, why not? I'm not really doing anything right now. So let's give it a shot.
And that kind of became your challenge through this whole 2025 summer. Most people fill their calendars with road races. You were adding something additional into your running calendar and taking on all of these routes. Now, your first one, I believe, was the 509 exhibition to Union. Tell us how that race went. Race, yeah. I can use that term.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a race. You know, there's a start and a finish line, so I don't see why we wouldn't call it one. Yeah, so that one we started with because it was one of the shorter routes, and we want to see, is this even possible?
Right.
You know, I believe the streetcar is slow, and based on my experiences of the streetcar, it was slow, but we've never actually run against it. So we started with that one because I think it was like 4 kilometers. So, you know, could run pretty fast for 4 kilometers. So yeah, we gave it a shot and we're pretty shocked on how slow it was. So yeah, from there it just kept going, and we worked through all the horizontal lines and then started to move to the vertical ones.
Take us through that margin of victory. You say you were shocked at just how slow the streetcar was. What are we looking at? Is this a matter of seconds, a matter of minutes? What was the experience of that first race?
That one was like 4 minutes, and as you can imagine, on such a short distance, 4 minutes is actually a pretty, pretty long time. So yeah, we were pretty surprised when we were down there at the station waiting for this thing to come by. We were like, wow, didn't even come. And one of the things we noticed was the one we thought was the streetcar we were racing was actually one before that. So it's an even further gap. Someone called it out in the comments and said, those numbers don't match. And we said, oops.
Wow. So you really outdid yourself. And was the plan always to go on racing the rest of the streetcars after that first victory? Or like you mentioned, you said you weren't even sure if it was possible to beat a 4 kilometer route. Once you had that data point, that proof of concept, is that when the idea of taking on every single streetcar route and the TTC really started to flourish?
Yeah, so it was kind of always an idea that I'm going to try to do each one of them. I know some are faster than others and some will be a little bit more difficult, but from the beginning, we always thought we were going to do all of them. I haven't been racing in the past year. And I just needed something to keep me going. So yeah, it ended up being a really fun experience and, yeah, super happy that we've done it and that we're still continuing to do it.
Yeah. And still taking on more and more lines, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But I would love if you could paint a bit of a picture for our listeners of what one of these head-to-head showdowns looks like. You've titled the campaign on Instagram is Man versus Machine, and as we've already established, it really is a race, you versus the streetcar, even if the streetcar doesn't necessarily know that it's participating. What does it look like from the perspective of the runner? What's the strategy going in? What are the things that you're trying to keep in mind when you're racing to outrun an entire streetcar line?
So the way that we set this up is we wanted it to be, and I keep saying we because I want to say that my friend Jack was as involved in the planning and everything as I was.
Yeah.
Although I do the running, I am so bad with the camera. I'm getting better. The last few I've edited myself, but it's been a big learning experience. So I want to make sure that, you know, it's known that he was as
shout out Jack for being the one documenting it behind the lens.
Yeah. So, when we were coming up with the idea, one of the things that we thought was really important is that we're not taking any shortcuts, because that kind of defeats the purpose of racing the streetcar to see if it's actually faster. If we're cutting through parks and so on, it's not actually a race of the man versus machine. It's the race of who can get the point faster. The other thing we wanted to do was limit ourselves to all the things that the streetcar would be limited to outside of having to pick up people. I'm not going to stop right at every single stop and go like, what's up, guys?
Yeah.
But I do stop for all lights. I'm not jaywalking, and I try to just obey all the rules of the road. So yeah, we'll start at one end of the streetcar route, wait for the doors to close, and then run just along the streetcar path all the way to the end.
And you're starting right at the streetcar platform, and then the finish line would be beating it there before its doors open at the terminus. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes it's kind of weird because I'm running through a station. So the ones at Broadview, you have to run through the gates, and it's makes it a little funny sometimes, especially when it's pretty busy.
Yeah, no kidding. Have you gotten some funny looks from fellow commuters as you're standing warmed up on the side of a platform and then taking off? Has there been anybody that's ridden the streetcar line that you've been racing and picked up on the fact that there's this guy beating them to their destination?
Not quite an individual rider, because I'm doing the entire line and
very few people, right?
Yeah, aren't they're just not doing the entire line. It doesn't make sense. It's not really the reason why people are using streetcars, and I'm so far ahead by the first few kilometers that they'll never even notice that I'm racing it. But the people that do notice generally are the drivers. Wow. And they'll go like, whoa, did you run this whole thing? Like, I saw you at the other end. And for me, that's always so funny, because I think they're as surprised as I guess some of the viewers.
Yeah, it seems that it probably creates a recognition in them of just how much time there is to be gained on their route. And that, I think, is a great way to transition into talking a little bit about one of the other motivations for this whole ongoing challenge, which is your changing relationship with the streetcar network. You were raised in Toronto. You've grown up riding the streetcars, and the place that they've occupied in your world and in your mind seems like it's shifted as an adult. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about that?
For sure. So when I was younger, I always have these really good memories of being on the streetcars. And these are specifically the older streetcars that they had the steps that you have to go up, and you have to actually face somebody to put in the change. You know, as I was younger, maybe it wasn't always the right amount of change, but you had to put something in the actual collection bin.
Right.
And a few things that I've noticed that have changed, especially after leaving the city and coming back, is how much busier the city is. And the only thing that we've done in order to kind of, I don't know, grow with that growth is make the streetcars longer, but they're still on the same tracks. They're still facing all the same hurdles that they did before, except this time with, you know, 2x more, maybe even 3x more traffic. Mm-hmm. So if you can imagine trying to make a left-hand turn onto University, you have five cars lined up and then a streetcar behind it. You know, those five cars might have the total sum of five or six people, where the streetcar has 100 people on it just trying to go straight. It just isn't a recipe for success. The other thing that I've noticed that has been really tough is with the lack of confrontation that you would have if you don't pay. We have a lot of people just feeling a lot more unsafe on the streetcar. I know my wife doesn't necessarily love taking it for that reason. You know, she's being harassed. I've been on the streetcar and I've been nervous about some of the stuff I've seen.
Yeah.
So I could only imagine how some of the other people would feel with being on the streetcar. Definitely, it doesn't feel as safe as it was. So,
yeah, a lot of changes that I think will be familiar to anybody who lives in a rapidly growing city, the way that Toronto has shifted. In running these same routes, how has your perception of the city changed? You're obviously seeing it in a different light when you're on foot rather than a passenger. Has it created an epiphany of any sort, or have you seen a different perspective on these routes that so many people are riding every day, but for many of them they're locked in on their phone or they're just sitting quietly on the streetcar?
Yeah, and when I took the streetcar and when I was when I took the streetcar frequently, I was definitely one of those people that I sat on my phone and, you know, I played my games, I listened to music and didn't really focus on how long this was actually taking. I knew I was on there for a long time, but I was so disconnected from the experience that it never really sat with me on how slow we were moving. But now after running, you know, all these routes, it's just shocking on how slow it really is and how we just haven't evolved with the times and how we're just letting these known issues really slow down a growing city. There are certain things like Doug Ford saying everybody has to go back to the office, but, you know, you're bringing everybody back to the office, but it's going to take them 40 minutes to go 5 kilometers. It's insane. You have to fix the actual structure of the city before you can expect people to make commutes. It's a pretty sad thing that's going on.
You had mentioned earlier that one of the big problems facing the TTC network is other vehicles on the road. And anecdotally, yep, you've noticed a real growth in the amount of car traffic. And I would imagine especially the return of that car traffic since the Premier Doug Ford forced that back to work, back to the office policy earlier this year. In one of your most recent races, not only did you race the TTC, but you also took on the challenge of trying to go head to head against a personal passenger vehicle. I believe you had a friend driving a car along that route as well. Tell us about that experience and what you learned from that.
That was a really interesting one because we did that on the longest streetcar route. We did that on Queen Street, which was 17 kilometers. And I expected to get blown out of the water.
Yeah, you would think the longer it is, the bigger advantage goes to the vehicle.
Yeah, because one of the things that is pretty consistent with the streetcars is they're very fast on the outskirts of a city. But as soon as they pass through downtown, they lose so much time that I'm able to pass them and build enough time. So when they get out of the downtown, I have enough of a lead that I can beat them. And that I didn't think would be true for commuter vehicles, but Jack, who was driving the car, experienced the exact same thing as a streetcar. And I will say he didn't take a good driving route. He followed the streetcar track just to see if the lack of having to pick up people would actually impact the overall speed. And I was running, and it wasn't until probably Roncesville, which is at the edge of the West End. So it was probably 12K or 13K into the 17K route. And he rolled up behind me and I was like, what? How are you here?
Yeah.
You know, I thought he was way ahead. I didn't see see myself pass him. But I guess I had built such a lead downtown that he wasn't able to pass me until Roncesville. But as soon as we hit Roncesville, the road just opened up and it was game over. There was no way I was catching him at that point. But over 12 kilometers, it was I was beating him.
Wow.
So from the beaches to Roncesvalles.
And even the final time to complete the route was still not that different from what I recall. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was pretty close. It was under 5 minutes, but yeah, it was really, really close. And one of the things that I think made the difference is how far I got up into the West End. And then he also had to park his car and walk to the streetcar. So I did probably gain a bit of time with him having to park and walk to the end.
But those are all real world scenarios. I mean, anybody driving their city downtown is going to be familiar with the hassle of looking for parking. And I think that that's one of the truths that maybe been at the core of this. And I think has been one of the reasons why so many people have taken common cause with you is it is opening people's perspective that, sure, even if it's a couple of minutes slower than driving, the experience of driving through a city is almost never a pleasant one. I don't think I've ever seen somebody having the time of their life while navigating downtown traffic. What's the experience been like running? Has it been more enjoyable, or are you still falling for the same pitfalls of red lights and errant drivers and pedestrians getting in your way that you would be if you were driving or taking public transit?
Yeah, so the running experience has actually been pretty awesome. There were some spots where when I did Queen Street between, let's say, Spadina and Bathurst, it was just so busy. There's no reason I should have been running on there. Right. There was just way too many people. And then a few times, Toronto drivers aren't maybe the best, where I was almost taken out, which wasn't fun, but overall being outside, getting your exercise in, getting the fresh air, it's been lovely. And as I mentioned earlier, even though I was almost taken out by a few drivers, I still felt way safer running than I would be on the streetcar. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a lovely experience to get out and get the fresh air, especially in the summer. It's been a great summer.
Do you think that given your experience, this is something that's viable for other commuters or even for you? Does this change your perspective on the run commute moving forward?
So this is something that has come up quite a few times in the comments where people are saying, I will never run 12 kilometers to work. And that's not really the point, right? We're seeing what is actually capable. And maybe it's now changing the conversation from having to take the streetcar to work and back. It could be, you take the streetcar to work because you don't want to show up to work sweaty, but then you run back, especially if you're running from something like downtown. My office is at Queens Quay and Bay. If you live in anywhere within, let's say, a 4 kilometer radius of that, it's going to be much faster to, even if you're hobby jogging, if you're probably walking, especially during rush hour, It's a really viable option.
And a more enjoyable one, as we've talked about. As a closing thought, because you frame this whole thing as a competition against the TTC, I think something that you as a competitive athlete with your road running history will be familiar with is that the best way to beat an opponent is to get inside their own head and understand what their strategy is. My final question to you is, what does the TTC need to do in order to beat the Mac Bowers of the world? How can they be improving their product to make this a bit closer of a competition?
There's things that I've mentioned quite a few times in a lot of the videos where it's talking about signal priority, it's talking about a designated lane. And also one that I've been thinking about more recently is spreading the stops. Although that's probably not one that the general population would love. But on some of the streetcars like Spadina, you're stopping every 200-300 meters. If you expand that out to every 600 meters, maybe it adds 3-4 minutes to someone's walk, but it speeds the streetcar up by probably, 30-40%. But I think those are some pretty basic things that should be done. They're making the right moves with the Eglinton LRT, if it ever finishes. I've seen it on the go and it's ripping along. There's no way I'm beating that thing. But it's just like, we got to update the current rails, move the cars off of the rail tracks. It's not good for anybody. Cars don't like streetcars. People on the streetcars don't like the cars. it's not a good system that we have going. And also signal priority. There's no reason that streetcars moving that many people should be sitting at red lights. They should be able to just move through a city pretty freely in order for it to be efficient. And we see that all throughout Europe. You take a tram in Europe, it's a lovely experience. It is so great. You take the big TTC streetcar, it looks really cool. It has the ability to go fast, move efficiently, but it just doesn't. It's a bit disappointing.
Final thought, how can other Torontonians be alleviating some of the current pressures on the streetcar network, or improving, at the very least, improving their own experience of moving through the city?
Hey, just hit me up on Instagram and come do a run with me. I'll get you through the city faster than the streetcar. Yeah, I've had a few people do it, and it's been a lot of fun. I really want it to be something that shows that it's not just trained runners that are doing, but literally anybody that can. I had one person hit me up who was a smoker, a drinker. he did the entire Bathurst route. He almost died by the end. I will say that, but he beat it, which was pretty impressive. And yeah, he's not a runner. He's just a dude.
Regular guy.
Yeah.
Wow. So a testament to pedestrian power, a bit of an indictment of the TTC, but gives them plenty to aspire to so that they can hopefully one day wrestle the crown back from you. I think that would be the victory for everybody, is to one day give up that title.
I'm ready. I almost lost to a shuttle bus on Saturday. So that was a close one. So I'm sure it's coming down soon, but I'm okay with it. You know, then we have an idea of what works. What is the right model? And until they're able to beat me, we just don't really know.
Ultimate victory will be your eventual defeat. Mac, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. All the best of luck with the remainder of the TTC challenge and with the daily travails of just getting across the city. We wish you all the best with it. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
All right. Ciao for now.
Another huge thanks to Mac for coming on the show this week and sharing his experience racing against the Toronto Transit Commission. He's got plenty more challenges coming up as he continues to face off against public transit, so make sure to give him a follow on Instagram at 514runner. If you can empathize with his battle against traffic, we'd love to hear from you. Leave us a comment and let us know about your experience with run commuting or any tips and tricks on how you get the most out of your daily commute in the city. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Shakeout Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows so you don't miss any of the action. That's it for this week's episode. As always, I'm your host, John Gay, saying thanks again, and we'll see you soon for your next Shakeout.